brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, we should be moved back to like 1 a.m. because Yellowstone Season 1 is coming back on again. And
The repeat comes on at 2, yeah.
Yeah, and Beth at, and Beth at in the watering trough.
Yeah, I'd rather watch that and listen to this garbage. Yeah,
I know that. Me too. I'm just so...
You ever see her like in an interview when she's talking with the English accent? Kind of messes your head up.
Oh, I bet. I had no idea.
It's like, you know, you're used to her, and then all of a sudden, oh, yes, we were out for tea and crumpets. Whoa, what? Where did that come from? Yeah. Trippy. Very, very trippy. Well, this is Made Man Bob. Joining me this evening are Made Man Brent.
You know, some days it's a pleasure to be here. Today it's really a pleasure to be here.
Take your hand off my leg. It's rub, not that kind of pleasure.
Rub the lotion.
But he rubs the lotion on its skin or it's against the hose again. And Made Man Maury.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm very, very aroused by tonight's selection.
When you have your wee-wee doctor say that, that makes you pay attention, doesn't it? And good old boy Justin.
Oh, I'm very excited and I didn't even have any blue pills today.
I am very aroused.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, this is our first fall release show. We usually do at least one or two of these a year, so this is our first one.
I think we should do four.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd do four if they just kept sending us more booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem isn't the will. The problem is the supply.
Why don't we redo this same show a couple more times?
Yes, I agree.
Well, yes. We got some full bottles here, so yeah, that's not a problem. So, well, our sip segments are all about coffee, distilled spirits, wine, tea, pretty much anything you can sip. And again, this
is mostly
our
whiskey.
This is our fall release show, so here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. We have the Blood Oath Pack 10. We have the Remus Reserve Series 8. We have the Elijah Craig Toasted Rye. We have the Maker's Mark Cellar Age 2024 release. We have the Larceny Barrel Proof C924. The Elijah Craig Barrel Proof C924. The Old Forester Birthday Bourbon 2024. And the latest release from Jack Daniels, the Jack Daniels Single Barrel Special Release Coy Hill Barrel House 8.
Yippee-yay-yay.
So... I know.
It's a terrible lineup.
They're all leaving me. Oh, look at them walking out the door. Oh, well, I'll just drink it all and do the show myself then. That's fine.
It'll be that way.
So let's have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the rich and shameless. Today we have Robin Leach.
That's Robin the Leach.
Yep. Robin the Leach. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth after I've drunk my champagne.
Not buying it.
Drink water! Drink water!
You know, we're not going to have any one sips today.
Two sips. Nice, bud. What else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Still not buying it.
And still no two sips.
Three sips. That's very interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Okay, Brent, don't spill the beans. No, don't give away the ending.
Nope, not giving away any endings.
Four. Happy endings?
Okay. Yeah.
Four sips.
No happy endings given.
Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! Yes!
No, just I'm not feeling that one. No.
Robin, back to the grave with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, first off, you've got to get the right tone in your voice, and you're not getting quite there. This is Robin the Leech with Champagne Wishes and Caviar Dreams. You know, so you got to get
very
it.
Good.
It's nasally. You got to get, it's English. Nasally. You got to get the nasally thing going. All right. So
some people are more endowed in the nasal department.
Yeah. It's a handsome nose. You know what they say about big nose? Yeah, it makes cocaine very expensive. Yeah. Yeah. So let's go to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The first whiskey will be the Blood Oath Pack 10, coming in at 49.3% ABV or 98.6 proof. The Blood Oath series of whiskeys is a limited release bourbon from the folks at Luxco. First released in 2015, a new release, or packed, is released each year. Each release of Blood Oath is the creation of John Rempe, head distiller at Lux Row Distillers, and each release is a different, unique combination of whiskeys. Blood Oath Pack 10 combines some of the finest rare bourbons Rempe could find, which were double finished. The first finish was in ex Cabernet Franc barrels, and the second finish was in ex Merlot barrels. That's quite a process.
Well, I love Cabernet Franc, so.
Yeah. So the color is a beautiful burnished copper. On the nose, there's a lot going on. There's definitely some baking spice, some burnt toffee, little hint of leather. On the palate, it's mouth coating. It's luscious. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel. It's actually improved quite a bit with air. I initially, when I poured this whiskey, I was a little underwhelmed, but over the last 45 minutes in the glass, it's really blossomed into something that's just beautiful. I find that the finish goes on and on. This is probably one of the best Blood Oath that I've had in quite some time. They're all quite good, but this one really seems to eclipse some of the previous releases.
That it does.
What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, this one really, really stands out from some of the previous releases. I get, you know, they're all these people are trying, you know, they did the single finish and now they're all getting into the second finish. You know, a lot of people call that a cigar blend kind of thing, you know, but it's this one. Yeah, I got some vanilla. I got actually some cotton on the nose. It came to me a little bit. You had that mouthfeel that was first off, it was very front forward. And then after it sits a while, then it really comes to coat more of your mouth. A little bit of light baking spice, vanilla, like a vanilla nougat. Beautiful. I initially thought the finish was short after letting it sit.
It really improved.
It improved and it came back and, you know, you get a little longer finish to it.
Yeah, I think patience will reward you with this. I did not add water. Did you add any water?
Nope.
I didn't think it needed water, but I really thought that the air did it time. So be patient. Pour it in the glass, taste it, walk away, come back. I think you'll be rewarded. Justin?
So I thought the color was like a light brown. On the nose, it was like...
Drink it down.
Sweet, malty, a little like mothballs, but not that strong. Caramel, brown sugar, cherries, and a little touch of mint.
Mothballs?
Yeah.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I live.
Yeah.
That was
so bomb. Dead on. So dead on.
I know, right? It was. So the palate is like typical, starts out like typical bourbon, and then I detect the Cab Franc like a flash, and then there's a little bit more Merlot, and the finish was nice and spicy. It was a good length. I thought it was pleasant, and I agree with Maury. Time in the glass did it a favor.
Yeah, I added some water. I don't think the water really enhanced it or did anything to it.
I didn't get...
You know, I didn't
put a lot in. It didn't wash it out, but it didn't really elevate it.
Yeah.
What is this thing called water you talk about?
Yes, exactly.
It's the thing that fish fornicate in.
Oh, yeah,
fornicate.
That stuff.
Yeah, it's... I hear people bathe in it, too. So I got on the nose when we first opened it, the brown sugar really leapt out. That sort of went in the background now. And I can definitely get sort of a dried kind of fruit, kind of dried raisin on the nose. But The burnt toffee still comes through.
Mm.
And there's a little bit of a mocha toward the front of the palate. And I get in the mid palate a little bit of brown butter. But I think, we've done 9 out of the 10 packs. I'd have to check my notes. I know we've done
a lot.
I think we might have missed the first one, but I'm pretty sure we've done everything but the first one on the show. And I think this is, I can't tell you it's the best one of all of them, but I think this is
the most memorable.
This is one of the better ones that I remember.
In a while. Yeah, I agree.
And not anything against the others. The others were all, the thing I like about this one is every one of them's different.
Different.
Yeah.
Every year they do something completely different.
And not just a vintage difference, but a different blend.
Different blend of whiskeys. I mean, some of this and some of that, finishes, different woods, everything, you know, it's completely different concept every year, which is ballsy, you know. I mean, it's easy to make one good thing and just stick with it. So I think they did a good job with this one. So just wish it is in a full size bottle, but
it was good though. Even with that bottle.
Yeah. Well, you know, but, you know, with Justin around, you need a larger bottle because, I mean, you know, he drinks a lot. So what can I say?
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to give the Blood Oath pack number 10 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next whiskey, and we'll have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Our next whiskey is the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 8. It's a 50.5% ABV. It's 101 proof. The Remus Repeal Reserve is named after George Remus, the self-proclaimed king of the bootleggers and the inspiration for the Great Gatsby. This year's offering is the 8th annual release in this series, and we'll come back to it and tell you some more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and Brent was just telling us a little bit about our next whiskey, the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 8.
Yeah, so thanks, Bob. So this year's offering is the 8th annual release in this series from the Ross & Squibb Distillery, formerly known as MGP. It includes 9% of a 17-year aged bourbon containing 21% rye, 24% of a 10-year aged bourbon comprising 21% rye, and 57% of a second 10-year aged bourbon containing 36% rye. This has got that nice, you know, 80s copper color to it. On the nose, it's just beautiful. And the nose, you don't want to leave the nose because you get kind of infatuated with it. You know, you got this cherry going on, these pecans, it's like a little bit of a saddle leather. Beautiful, beautiful nose. And then you get to the palate. And the first thing is it's maple syrup. It just comes right out at you, you know. And then you got like a little fig or raisin onto it, some vanilla, some cherries, a little bit of oak, baking spice. It just lingers on and on. The mouthfeel is excellent. This is just a great expression, great finish. They really hit it out of the park with this one. This is a nice one, Maury.
Yeah, I agree with just about everything you said, Brent. Again, like the first whiskey, I felt that this initially was a little closed when I poured it. And again, patience and time will reward you. And I agree, it blossomed, and the maple really blossomed and came out. There is that hint of fig, the vanilla, a little oak and baking spice. It's really got a nice, voluptuous, viscous mouthfeel. The finish seems to go on and on, particularly after letting it sit in the glass. Again, I thought it was a delicious whiskey, extremely well made, and one of the better ones I've seen from them. They're all always very good, but this one was really nice. Justin? Yeah.
This kind of reminded me of like some fantastic cherry pipe tobacco on the nose, on the palate. It was sweet and syrupy, and I did get that Ross and Squibb mint note that they're known to have at the very end. And the finish was nice. This is like a really well-made spirit. I'm impressed, and it does not taste like the 101 proof that it is.
No, I went back and added some water to this one, and again,
I didn't find the water helped. I thought the water washed it out a little bit.
Yeah. This is one you don't want. Again, you don't want to add water to this one. Just let it sit in the glass for a little bit.
But we've been saying it for over a decade. Try some water with your whiskey. Your worst case scenario is you wash it out, so you drink that, and then you just don't add any more. But the best case scenario is the whiskey will open up, and it'll actually get better. Yeah. So give it a try.
At 101 proof, certainly the proof doesn't demand it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Sometimes it's not about proof. It's about flavor.
Oh, yeah.
And unlocking those flavor molecules.
More often than not, it's about flavor. I mean, if it's 140 and you're sensitive to the ethanol, sure, you know, put some water in it to knock it down. But how many have we had that are 100, 102, 105, 98, and you add water to it and the thing just explodes?
We've had some 80 proofers.
Oh, yeah. We've had some 80s you put water in. Like, wow. It's like, whoa. Yeah, night and day. Well, I think this is, one of the better releases of Remus, and we've done all of those. Back in the day, they used to send full 750s because I still have pretty much all of them on the back shelf in there. This one, Justin hit it right on the head. I've got cherry and I've got tobacco leaf. So that's what it is. It's cherry pipe tobacco and like in a leather pouch.
Yeah.
I mean, on the nose, 100%. And then the maple syrup on the palate. I still get the cherries, but it's more like a black cherry. Mm. A little bit of dried fruit. Just a nice bit of little dry oak in the front of the palate. Very mellow baking spice. Nothing that's jumping out and beating you over the head. And a nice finish. It just lingers.
Right. The baking spices, sometimes they kind of like...
They burn you.
Yeah. You know, this one's not here.
Yeah.
Just really nice finish. Nice
it's like lingering. Smoky, the baking spice. It just sort of floats in your mouth. It's, you know.
Yeah. I haven't tried this with a cigar, but I certainly would.
I've seen you smoke a cigar with past blue ribbon, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Well, we gave the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 8 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Keep up the good work. The guys at...
guys.
Ross and Squibb, MGP, whatever you want to call them, turn out some seriously good whiskey, so...
Bob, why don't you tell us about this next one?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it then.
All right. So our next whiskey is the Elijah Craig Toasted Rye. It's 47% ABV and it's 94 proof. It's 51% rye, 35% corn, and 14% malted barley. No age statement. The Elijah Craig Toasted Rye is the newest expression in the Elijah Craig line. The process begins with a fully matured Elijah Craig straight rye whiskey, which is dumped and then re-entered at barrel proof into a second custom toasted new oak barrel designed in partnership with Independent Stave Company. The toast on these secondary barrels is unique to Elijah Craig toasted rye. At the end of the nearly hour-long toasting process, a cap is placed on the barrel to quickly ramp up the heat to an extremely high temperature, allowing the phenols to embed in the surface of the barrel and give a little bit of an added element of smoke to complement the spice and the sweetness of the rye. So, the color, kind of a nice burnished dark kind of bronze. And when I smell this, it's brioche to me. It's like a big brioche roll and a lot of nuts in there. Hazelnuts, almonds. Not so much like a marzipan, but more like toasted almonds. And on the palate, hold on. On the palate, it's like a malted milk ball. It's milk chocolate. It's baking spice. It's got a lovely creamy mouthfeel to it. It coats the entire palate, front, back, and sides, underneath. Yeah, this is a winner. This is a winner.
All I can tell you about this one is I'm not adding any water to it.
No.
I don't even see a need to add water to it. I don't even want to try it with water, even secondary or whatever. It's that I got the nose. It's like this big creme brulee nose, and it's just so soft and so sweet. You know, and those little nuts, little nuttiness to it on the palate. And there's somebody that said Rolo when we were tasting it, and it's, yeah, that milk chocolate Rolo that you get, beautiful. It's light baking spices. It's just creamy mouthfeel. Man, you do not even think that this is a rye. I mean, you just don't pick it out as a rye. I realize the percentages is only 51% rye, but boy, they nailed this one. I don't even know why they make anything else, except that there's a lot of other really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's Heaven Hill. They know what the hell they're doing at that place. So, yeah, this one's really good. And I mean, this is going to be just part of their main line. It's not going to be like a once a year kind of release sort of thing. At least that's my understanding. So,
If they can duplicate this year over year, they've got a winner.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am pretty impressed. I mean, the process sounds complicated with the toasting, but all I can say is I think they nailed it with this. The mouthfeel, the viscosity, the creaminess, it's like milk chocolate. It's just, it's crazy. So I've really enjoyed this. I thought this was, although I like Elijah Craig a lot, this is one of the best things I've had from them in a long time.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Justin?
So this nosed like almond croissant, but tasted like a chocolate croissant. And the finish was spicy and beautiful.
I'll let him keep that one.
He's actually awake this time.
Yeah,
got that one, you know. I mean, at least,
Look at you, little overachiever, you.
Hey, even a blind squirrel gets a nut now and then.
Like a clock, I'm right twice a day.
That's right.
Yeah, the problem is it's a digital clock with an LED, so we don't really know if it's ever right.
Oh, you mean like just blinks 12 all the time? Yeah, that is me.
Yeah. It's my dad's VCR. Now think of what's sadder, the fact that it's blinking 12 or that he still has a VCR. Which is worse?
Well, if it works, I mean, that's the other thing, you know.
Well, it could be worse. It could be beta.
Right. You know? At least
yeah. Sadder.
Yeah. I mean, VCR won that battle really quick.
Mm-hmm. 1981, well, yeah. You had a big choice to make, $400 VCR or $400 Betamax. And if you chose wrong, you ate $400, man. Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are we so angry? Well, let's see. We bought everything on records and then we went to cassettes. Well, we went to 8-tracks and then we got red 8-tracks. I had to go to cassettes and went from cassettes to CDs. And then we went from CDs to MP3s. And now you got to get a subscription to everything. And we had to buy everything on video at least twice. And then they tried to sneak that laser disc in. Why do you think our generation's cranky?
Then it went
There's a reason.
MP4, FLAC, and RAW.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, damn it.
Yeah.
You bastards. So, But yeah, this one is.
We're going to make copies of this show on 8-track.
Yeah.
Yes, we should release this on 8-track.
Quadraphonic 8-track.
Yeah, for sure.
When you go, it goes from one track to the other. Just like click, click.
We could be first podcast on 8-track quadraphonic.
Yeah. It would like rotate around the car with the quadraphonic. You'd like hear it move from speaker to speaker.
For $99.99, send in your check and we will find a way to make one for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, we are going to give the Elijah Craig toasted rye a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Okay. Our next whiskey.
The moment the world has waited for.
Is going to be Justin.
All right. Maker's Mark Cellar Age 2024 release. 57.85% alcohol by volume, or 115.7 proof. And no, I did not do the math. 70%.
We know that.
Yeah. 70% corn, 16% wheat, 14% malted barley.
Would that be red winter wheat?
I don't know yet. To make the cellar-aged expression, the folks at Maker's Mark take barrels that have spent 6 years aging in their traditional bourbon warehouses until they reach full maturity and can be called Maker's Mark. These barrels are then moved into the distillery's proprietary whiskey cellar, which is built into Kentucky limestone and provides cool, consistent environment for additional aging. Then the barrels are blended to taste and bottled. The 2024 release of Cellar Age blends 15% Maker's Mark 12-year-old and 85% Maker's Mark 13-year-old at 59.7% or 119.3 proof. It's the only whiskey that has changed proof from the beginning of my description to the end. Very special. So the color of this expression is dark. The nose?
I was expecting brown. I don't know why.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot! You stupid fathead! You.
So on the nose, I got chocolate orange.
Some new sound effects.
Usually
today.
I save those for Harm.
I haven't heard before. Yeah.
Kind of
reminds. Peter Laurie, come on, man.
Kind of reminds me of Dalmore. On the palate, I got a brioche bun, Malibu, and carrots. And it had a bright spice. And in the finish, I had carobs, toasted oak, and a long mouth coating finish like fire. What did you think, Maury?
Wow. I don't even know that I can speak following that description. Whoa. Well, for those of you who are
normal,
vocabularily challenged, it's got a nice dark burnished copper to mahogany color. On the nose, I would agree. Caramelized sugar, a lot of orange, and a hint of almond. On the palate, I got the shortbread. I definitely got the coconut. I don't know that I'd call it Malibu rum. Bright spice and coconut was definitely there. The finish was beautiful. I thought the finish was medium to long, dry, dark fruit, some toasted oak. It was long. It was mouth-watering. I thought this was a really nice expression out of Maker's. I've not had their cellar releases before, but I thought this was delicious and definitely a step up from their regular everyday Maker's. I liked it quite a lot. Brent, what'd you think?
I am impressed with what they're doing. They've taken this hole in the side of the wall, you know, and they're aging it in there. And they're just taking their regular Maker's Mark.
Not for 5 minutes. They aged it for another 6 years.
I know that. That's what's great about it.
That cave's not that big.
I mean, I'm just expecting other distilleries to like steal this process or, you know, do something like that and aid, you know, but we're going to see big underground facilities where they're aging bourbon in the future because
there is one whiskey. I can't remember the name, but a small one, I think in Eastern Kentucky, where they age them in like an old coal mine.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it. It's a very small brand, but I remember reading about it.
All right. I want to go next year.
When you got the success and the flavor profile that this has, you're just going to see other people do it. I mean, this is you're talking a wheated whiskey. And 12-year, 13-year?
Well, weeded whiskeys need the time.
Well, they do, yeah. But I mean, it's... Yeah,
Justin, can you see the bottle?
This sure. 12-year, 13-year, I mean, yeah, this, right is, there, this is just an impressive thing that they've done here. So I'm all in on it. It's great. I'm going to see, you know, they're the cutting edge of this new thing, you know, where the people were doing all the barrel finishes and stuff. This is going to be.
They were doing it before everybody else,
right.
You know, with their barrel staves.
Right. So, they're the ones that did the extra barrel staves. They're the ones that did the you know, in the cave. Others are going to follow. We're going to see this happening from others in the next 6 to 10 years. So.
Well, we've all heard the legendary stories, you know, everyone's heard or knows a guy who actually saw it, but you know, supposedly Mr. Samuels on occasion would pull out a private stash of like 12-year-old Maker's Mark. I never got to taste it, but I've heard the stories as well. And I always thought to myself, oh my God, if I could get 12-year Maker's Mark, I know that's going to be fantastic. Because again, it's a weeded whiskey and they always seem to do better with more time. And this one sure as hell did. this one's everything that you ever wanted in Maker's Mark and more. I mean, this
is a weeder.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, they're one of the biggest whiskey companies on earth. So there's no way in hell they could crank everything up and do everything at 12 years. They'd have to have a cave the size of Wisconsin. But
I think Wisconsin's worth caving.
If they could.
If they're going to do this.
If they could, then this is what they should be making forever. Because at, you know, there's 12, some pretty, 13
there's some pretty
years,
big caves in Kentucky. They can rent some space out of them, you know.
The one off the highway, they have the billboard for.
Well, it's interesting you talk about Mammoth underground cave, caves, because now it starts to approach where? Scotland. Damp, dark, and cool. And that's essentially what they're mimicking, and that's what allows the Scotches to go for so many years. You couldn't leave something on the top floor of the rickhouse for 10 or 12 or 15 years.
No.
But they do the first six, though, in the rickhouse, get that flavor extracted.
Correct.
And then coast it in for that next 6 or 7 years. And I think that's the key. This is fantastic. It wasn't that long ago we reviewed the 2023. And I think this one's for my palate, I think this one's definitely better.
Y'all made it better, boys.
And I got to admit, I'm adjusting. It's that chocolate orange. It's almost Delmore-esque.
Yeah.
So, and people were lining up. We saw them some release at the KBF.
Oh, it was a two-hour-long line to buy it at the KBF.
So. And so it's difficult to find. I don't know if any of it came to Florida, but it's tough to find. I'm okay either way.
Well, we're going to give the Maker's Mark Cellar Age release a well-deserved...
Oh, my goodness!
Five sips.
Yeah! Whoa!
It's one sip, guys. If you get one, just send it to me, and I'll take it off your hands.
Well, you're a giver like that.
Is any of it here in Florida?
Yeah, you're a giver.
Yeah, it's here. It's
not why I do. Destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, all as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we are back, and we just finished talking about the Maker's Mark Cellar Age 2024 release. So that's bringing us up to our next release, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next release is the Larceny Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey Barrel Proof C924, coming in at 62.55% ABV or 125.1 proof. The mash bill is 68% corn, 20% wheat, and 12% malted barley. Again, the whiskey has a beautiful burnished copper color. The nose is just typical, classic, delightful, a little bit of toffee, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of creme brulee. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel. I really love the creaminess of this. It's got a beautiful mouth coating viscosity. It's got notes of cinnamon and creme brulee and baking spice and molasses. And then the finish just goes on and on. I think this is one of the best Larcenies I've tasted to date. I thought this was delicious. I really enjoyed it. I love the direction they're going. I wish every Larceny tasted this good. If you see a bottle of Larceny Barrel Proof, buy it.
Especially C924.
Brent?
Yeah, this is great. I can't really add a whole lot to what you said. I added some water to mine, and
Did it help?
It didn't really help. I mean, it gave all those flavors. It just kind of muted them just a little bit. Like, it didn't really, like, mute them. It just kept them there.
The barrel char seemed to come up,
like, yeah.
I got a little bit more of the barrel char with a drop of water.
Yeah, it kept them there, like, a little bit longer.
I didn't add the water till now, but I agree with you, Bob. It brought out a little bit of the barrel char. Yeah. But other than that, the flavors didn't really change. Yeah.
I think it made the finish last a little bit longer is all. It's the only thing that's different from it. But, again, they've been doing this for quite a few years now, for a couple of years, not a lot of years. Their larceny was after the Elijah Craig, and they started doing it. Now, with this one here, they also did a thing to the bottle where you have a black light system that you can use.
That's on the regular larceny, too, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so, you know, it's like another little gimmick that they brought, and they don't need a gimmick because they have a great product. You know, it's like one of those things that's like, why gimmick it when it's so good already? And then you just add something to it. And it's just
when,
like,
they changed the label on the regular larceny, they sent me the little, press the button on the back, knucklehead. There you go. They sent me the little black light flashlight so you can, you know, it'll make it glow. But don't take that in the hotel room. It'll creep you out. Yeah.
Send it this way.
Don't stare into the beam, Maury. Yeah.
Will it hurt my eyes, Bobby?
Yeah, just put it right up against the eyeball. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, this is delicious. I mean,
why have regular larceny when you can have this?
Well, why have anything when you can always have barrel proof?
I get it, but
I mean, it's got a beautiful nose on it. It's classic larceny, but ramped up to 11. It's got a nice clean oak on it. It's got a nice spice. And it's got a slow, it goes in and then the burn comes up. You know, it comes in and then it ramps up on you after you've swallowed it. And it's got a great finish. I mean, this is an excellent one. What do you think, Justin?
So the color was a lighter brown.
Not dark.
The nose, I got oak, envelope glue, tangerines, and nutmeg.
We knew envelope glue was going to come out sometime today.
The palate was wow.
I'm running out of sound effects for this guy today.
Vanilla, caramel, pork rinds.
Well, the fat man made a funny.
That's about as good as I got left for him.
I think the pork rinds got overwhelmed. There was definitely a finish of pork rinds and orange, and it was long and spicy. This was beautiful.
Yep, excellent. Well, let's move on because we still got three to go. So we're going to be given the Larceny Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey Barrel Proof C924 a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So, Brent, tell us about our next one.
Thanks, Bob. This next one is Elijah Craig Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's C924, 54.5% ABV.
Deja vu.
You know, 129 barrel proof.
Our favorite.
78% corn, 12% malted barley, 10% rye, aged 11 years. Man, they're kicking it out of the park with these things. I mean, it's the color on this one, that 80s copper color. It's not black. It's not brown. It's a nice burnished copper. On the nose, I actually got a barley field, like standing in a barley field. If you've ever done that, I actually got that on the nose. That's one of the things I got. But then on the palate, all those, you know, that cherry, the vanilla, the little light baking spice, the creaminess, the everything you want in a bourbon, just that's what you have on this palate. It's just what you want. It's you got, you know, a little bit of leather, a little bit of oak. It's not overpowering. Long, long finish. Man, gosh, I love this one as well.
Well, it's Elijah Craig barrel proof. I mean, we all love this one. And we've loved every release they've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, the worst one that we ever had, we went, damn, I'll take a case of that.
You know, people raved about the C923 last year.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be raving about the C924.
People will latch on to one particular one, and there's always a hype. But
right.
But honestly, the worst one we've ever had was still probably a 4+. So, you know,
right.
It's, you know, this one's excellent. This one's really good. What do you think, Maury?
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it was delicious. It's a winner every year. It's beautiful. This one's nice. It's 11 years old. I want to point out that there is an age statement, because there is not an age statement on both the Larceny and the Toasted Rye. And so we don't really know how old they are, but they were delicious. This one at 11 years old is just singing. It's delicious. Really, just they're just knocking it out of the park consistently.
All right. Well, let's move on. We're going to be giving the Elijah Craig Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey Barrel Proof C924 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next whiskey, which is the 2024 Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. It's 53.5% ABV, 107 proof, 12 years old. The Old Forester Birthday Bourbon is released every year on September 2nd in honor of George Garvin Brown's birthday. He's the man who invented and founded Old Forester in 1870. This is the, can you believe it, 24th release. Getting old. This is 12 years old, matured in warehouses G and L with a mash bill of 72 corn, 18 rye, and 10% malted barley on the nose. Ah, I get apples, a little bit of pear.
That pear is powerful.
Yeah, the pear just jumps out. There's some like tobacco barn, kind of tobacco, you know, that musty kind of tobacco barn. And then on the palate, hold on. There's toasted oak. There's a hot cinnamon spice. Almost like cinnamon toothpicks when you're a kid that leaps out at you. And there's just this fruitiness on the front of the palate that's just off the chain, kind of candy-like. What'd you think, Brett?
Yeah, the biggest downfall to this bourbon is the bottle. I mean, it's an iconic bottle.
Yeah.
But it's that's the biggest downfall.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. It takes up a lot of space on the shelf.
You know, I had like I missed the first year, and then I had like 15 years in a row.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then everybody started catching on to it, and that it just became unattainable.
Is the one you could always get. You know, I mean, this was the fall release that like you would go into a store and you'd go, oh, look, it's this year's birthday bourbon. And you would take it off the shelf, and behind it would be one bottle left over from the year before. Yeah. And you're like, oh, hell yes. You know, was one I always knew I could get my hands on this.
Not anymore.
Brent, are you still able to get the Angel's Envy Cast Strength?
No.
Because I haven't been able to get that in the last four or five years.
I haven't gotten one in the last like 3 years.
Yeah, you used to get every year. And now I 4 or 5 years can't get them.
So, yeah. But I mean, what you said about this is great. This is a great expression. I love it. Everybody loves it. I mean, I don't ever hear anybody say, oh,
no, that was a horrible one.
This year's birthday bourbon, I didn't
terrible.
Like.
You know, that's never happened. Nobody ever says
that. So.
It's improved in the glass quite a bit. I mean, I thought it was great when I poured it, and it's only gotten better with a little bit of air. It's really just beautiful. The fruits are juicy. They jump out in the front palate, the oak, the warm cinnamon. I mean, you guys really nailed it on all the notes. And then the finish just goes on and on and on. That sweet tobacco is really neat. The ground cinnamon, the cocoa. I just think that it's delicious. Is it the best birthday bourbon ever? I don't know that I could say that, but it's never disappointing.
I would have 3 or 4 or 5 that I would pick over this one, you know, over the years that I can think of. But, you know, it's...
Well, the nice thing about this one is it's not as different as, say, like the Remus, you know, I mean, where they're doing a lot of different stuff, or the Blood Oath, where they're really doing a lot of different stuff. But every year is different.
Oh, and it's still good. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from it.
I'm still getting the Old Forester, you know, profile, but every year it's a different blend. It's different barrels from different warehouses, different ages. So it's always a treat to try the new birthday bourbon, because you never really know what you're going to get.
You're going
to
be happy. I mean, if you get it.
Yeah, well, you're always going to be happy.
You're going to be happy. I mean, it's going to be something you're going to want.
It's like getting a Christmas gift. You're getting a gift, you're going
to
be happy.
Sue used to get it for my birthday, because mine was in September. Like, you know, most people in the United States, their birthdays in September, you know, so.
Okay.
Really?
Well, that's the most common month for birthdays.
Is that right?
December conception.
New Year's Eve conception. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously my parents tried it with somebody, you know, so.
After your parents had you, then the state stepped in and said no more.
Yeah, and then
they mandated sterilization.
Right. Yeah.
Seven kids later, and they quit.
Yeah. Boy, wow. Your mother must have been tired. Reminds me of the Monty Python skit when they go in and they got like 400 kids. We're going to have to sell you all for medical experiments.
Yeah. She figured one of them would turn out good.
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
We're still waiting. Yeah, it's. She ran into menopause.
We're hoping, but you know,
the clock gets us all, Brent.
We're not holding out a lot of hope, but you know, it's more of a gee, wouldn't it be nice kind of hope? Yeah. So we're gonna give the Old Forester 2024 birthday bourbon 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
All right, so that is going to take us to our last one.
Oh, God, it has to come to an end?
Walking around pouting like your little sister took your last Oreo. And not a traditional Oreo. No, a limited edition Oreo.
Yeah, quit complaining.
Darn straight.
Quick, if we...
All right, Justin.
If we unplug all the cords, we do this episode again.
I am pleased to discuss the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Special Release Coy Hill Barrel House 8. The 2024 release of the Single Barrel Special Release is bottled at barrel strength with proofs ranging from 122 to 137.5. Jack Daniel's Coy Hill Barrel House starts.
That's a hard word.
Yeah, it is. With Jack Daniel's traditional Tennessee whiskey mash bill of 80% corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye.
There'll be a quiz on that later.
I'll fail. After distillation, the whiskey was charcoal mellowed and entered into new charred American white oak barrels in September of 2013 to mature on the 5th and 6th floors of Coy Hill Barrel House 8. This is the third release in this series. Mm. The nose is like heaven. The palate, caramel, hints of dark, you know, mint, candied fruit. The finish is fire and oak and sugar. And oh my God, you'll wish you had more until you're looking at a clean glass. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, it's hard to top that review, Justin. I think you did a really good job, despite what Bob might say. I thought this was one of the best releases to come out of
Boston.
This is one of the best things to come out of Lynchburg, Tennessee in a very long time. It's one of the best things I've had. It's high proof, but it drinks like 100 proof. It does not drink like 137 proof. It is smooth. It is delicious. It is classic Jack with flavor amped up to 15.
Yeah, this one's 134.7.
So. Exactly.
Yay.
It's high proof, but honestly, it does not taste like 134.7.
No.
I thought this was fantastic. I'd like a vat of this. I'd like to bathe in it nightly.
We just wish you'd bathe at all. I'm just
I do bathe once a week. This was
whether he needs it or not.
Fantastic.
Brent? Yeah. So the Coy Hill is quickly becoming everybody's favorite.
It's unbelievable. It went from obscurity, non-existent.
Exactly. To now, this is like the one, this is Coy, everybody wants Coy Hill. So it's single barrel. Oh, am I getting Coy Hill? No. Oh, well, so you're really going to get a great single barrel, but it's, you know, but the Coy Hill's the one everybody wants now, and everybody's, you know.
And can't get it.
Right. They came out with the Coy Hill release, and they just caught fire. It's amazing. It's great.
But it really shows you what finishing and barrels and warehousing can do. This is the exact same mash bill and juice as every other bottle of Jack, including Old Number 7.
Yep. Bob?
Well, all I can tell you is when I went on the media trip there, we went to Coy Hill, we went to the warehouse, and this hand actually drilled a barrel. So I haven't washed it since then. You can touch it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I see the mold.
What more can you possibly say? It's fantastic. Absolutely amazing, and I wish I had a 55-gallon drum of it. So we're going to be giving the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Release Coy Hill 134.7 proof, a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
So that's all the time we have now. I want to thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, the lineup sucked. And can we get back to scotch?
I got some Petey stuff for you. Got some Octomore. Thank you, Maury.
Very nice. Thank you, Bob. Fantastic morning.
Man, thank you, Justin.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah. Tonight does not suck.
Yeah.
No, so. Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Mad Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey, and when it's the fall release shows, we rarely ever have to worry about that.
Yeah, true. There is no bad whiskey today. You know, it's just enjoyable. These distilleries know what they're doing.
You think? They should maybe go into business.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.